We're calling our study The Jesus I Never Knew, because it may be that some of you this morning have never really known Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior, and our prayer is that through maybe being a part of this study through the Gospel of Mark, you would come to know who Jesus really is, and through that you might come to trust Him as your one and only Savior and commit to Him as your Lord, as the authority over and in your life. And then for those of us who maybe have made a commitment, an initial commitment to Jesus, there's a sense in which we can, if we're not careful, just sort of see Jesus the way we want Him to be, rather than the way He really is given to us and presented to us on the pages of Scripture. And so as we make our way through Mark, my prayer is that all of us would know Him better, that all of us would see Him more clearly for who He really is and who He really was. Today we come to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 21, where we left off last Sunday at verse 20, and we're going to look at verses 21 through 34 this morning. And as we get started, let me mention this that I think is an important way for us to get started this morning. What we're going to see, especially in the first verses of this text, verses 21 through 25, is this: that God's kingdom plan is for people to be learners, to be teachers. That's God's kingdom plan. That's the way God intends for His kingdom to grow and to spread and for more people to become followers of Jesus Christ. God's kingdom plan is for people to be learners, to be teachers. And when that happens, when what we're going to see exemplified in the first verses of our text and explained in verses 21 through 25, when that happens, God's kingdom grows exponentially. God's kingdom grows exponentially. Now, it's important for you to understand that there's a difference between steady growth and exponential growth. And one way for me to illustrate that as we get started this morning would be to give you this illustration. Imagine for the next 10 years, in this church, there were 30 new people each year, for each of the next 10 years, 30 new people who came to profess faith in Jesus Christ. That would be incredible, right? Wouldn't that be great? In 10 years, we would have seen 300 people become a part of God's kingdom. 300 more disciples of Jesus Christ. 30 every year for 10 years. But think about this. What if this next year, 10 people became followers of Jesus Christ, and they were helped to be strengthened. They were strengthened and established in their faith. And then in year two, they each one were used by God to share the gospel with one other person and then to help that person be established and fortified in their faith. And then if the next year that happened again, everyone reached one and encouraged and helped that one person be established, what would happen after 10 years? After 10 years, there would be 5,120 more disciples of Jesus Christ. You see the difference? That's the difference between steady growth, 30 every year for 10 years, that would be great. But instead of 300 after 10 years, there could be 5,120 if what this passage is talking about starts happening. That is, if we are learners in order to become teachers. If all of us become involved in taking what we have been told, what we have been taught, and turning around and telling it to someone else and teaching it to someone else. Look at verse 21, and let's look at this first section, verses 21 through 25. And He, Jesus, said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand?" The implied and obvious answer is, of course not. That's not what you do with a lamp. You don't put it under a bushel or a basket or a bed. You put it on a stand. You put it up so that it can give light. Verse 22, "For nothing," Jesus continues, "nothing is hidden except to be made manifest. Nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, last week we began to see Jesus started teaching through parables. And we were told that one of the reasons he did that was to conceal. To reveal, yes. But also to conceal from those, the truth from those who were on the outside. Those who had to this point continued to resist. Resist the truth, reject the truth. And so, Jesus' disciples, we've already seen, are getting from Jesus in sort of a closed session. It wasn't really a closed session. It was just a smaller setting, and many of the people went away. But those with the disciples who were most interested continued to listen. And they were able to hear Jesus explain these parables. And so, it may be that they were thinking, okay, is this the way it's going to be? Are we just going to just sort of stay in our own little group apart from the crowd and keep learning and keep letting Jesus give us his truth, give us light on these parables? Jesus in verse 21 is saying, no, I'm giving you this light ultimately because, yes, I want you to take the light that you are being given, and I want you to take it, and I want you to share it, I want you to shine it. My intention is for what you are being taught, my intention is for you to go and teach it. That's what he's saying. Then he says in verse 24, and he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. What he's saying essentially is this: because I want you to take this, and like a light, I want you to shine it. It's a light that's been given to you. It's light and insight that I'm giving you. I want you to take it and shine it. And so it's really important that you listen well, that you learn well, that you be receptive and attentive to my teaching so that you can go and do what you're supposed to do with this message. The first thing I want you to see in this text that I think is incredibly practical is this. Jesus essentially is telling his disciples, and through this, God is telling all of us that he wants us to be a learner. He wants every person in this room this morning to be a learner. He wants every person in this room to be a careful learner. A careful learner. Because if you're going to go out and share, if you're going to go out and share what you are learning, then you need to learn well, right? You need to learn carefully. You need to listen carefully. That's what Jesus is saying at the end of these verses. He says in verse 24, pay attention to what you hear. Now let me make a confession this morning. Sometimes when my wife talks to me, I don't listen. She's in here, so I have to admit that. There have been times when she said to me, Brent, you're not listening to me. And I've said, yes, I am, and then I repeat what she's just said. And I think that gets me off the hook. But she has often explained to me that there is a difference in just repeating what I have somehow subconsciously, while I was thinking about other things, heard. There's a big difference between just repeating what she's just said and actually giving her my attention. There's a big difference, guys. Okay, own up with me this morning. Ladies, get your elbows out if you need to. And that's what Jesus is saying here to his disciples. You need to be attentive. Pay attention. Pay attention to what you hear. That is, be focused, really. Take seriously every opportunity you have to learn God's word, to learn God's truth, so that you can then share that truth. That's what Jesus is saying here. A careful learner. A careful learner. Let me ask you some questions this morning, because I want you to think about whether or not you are a careful learner. Are you disinterested? when someone's teaching or preaching God's word? If you are, you're probably not listening right now, but hopefully you'll hear what I'm asking. Are you distracted sometimes when God's word is being taught, when God's word is being preached, when you have the opportunity to learn? It's easy for that to happen, right? To think about this afternoon or tomorrow or the things that are coming up. Are you distracted? Jesus is saying here to his disciples, God's saying to all of us this morning, be attentive and be reflective. James, later on in the Bible, talks about not being a forgetful hearer. You see, that's not a careful learner. A careful learner is not someone who becomes a forgetful hearer. Because I think being a careful learner means listening receptively and reflectively, and then ultimately responsively to what we've been taught. We respond to it. We reflect on it. Some of you, hopefully, are aware of the fact that in the bulletin that you receive each Sunday morning when you come in, there's an insert every week. And on the front side, there are blanks that are there for you to fill in, and the screen helps you, and hopefully I do well enough to where the people up top can give to you what you need to put in those blanks. I know there are some people who get really OCD about things, and I'm one of those kind of people. When I fill in blanks and somebody skips a blank or something, it just messes me up. So anyway, I've made mistakes. I'm sure I will in the future. But the point of that is to encourage you to be more active listeners, to not only fill in the blanks, but maybe even in some of the space to write down some thoughts or some ideas that you hear that you think are important. Again, the goal is for you to become and be a careful learner, a careful listener. And then on the back side of that same sheet, I don't know if you've ever turned it over, maybe you have and glanced, but there are questions based on the message that you're listening to this morning that you're taking notes on the front side where the blanks are. You can turn it over and there are questions there that you can use to help you think more, reflect more on the message. We have lots of life groups in our church that meet in homes, and those life groups, almost all of them are sermon-based because we want to help people continue to learn, to really learn. It's one thing to come into a service like this and to hear it. It's another thing then to get in a smaller context to listen and to discuss and to think more deeply and practically about what you've heard. In other words, that insert is our simple and yet I think important effort to help you be a careful learner, to really grow in your understanding of who Jesus is, particularly in this series. I want you to listen to some verses real quickly in the book of Hebrews that ties together what we're talking about this morning, the connection between listening and teaching, or being taught and teaching. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 5, "About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." So he's writing to people who have become dull of hearing, and so it impacts what he's able to communicate to them. And then he says this, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers," he's writing to believers or professing believers, and he says, "You've been in this long enough that by now you should be teachers." You see, God's intention is not just for us to keep hearing and hearing and taking and taking. God's intention for us is to then teach what we've heard. Maybe not like I'm doing this morning, obviously not for everybody. But God wants all of us to be involved. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles or the first oracles of God." Think about this. You need someone to teach you those things again. Why would someone need to have the same lesson again? Because they've lost it, in a sense. They've lost it. And why have they lost it? Well, in part because they should be teaching it. One of the best ways to not lose what you're taught is to teach it to someone. It's your kids at home, parents, neighbors, co-workers, classmates, sharing the truth that you've received. He says there, he continues, you need milk, not solid food. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, but solid food is for the mature. How do you get mature? Here's his answer. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. What does that passage say? Here's what I think it says. And it's relevant to verses 25 at the end of what we just read. You will lose what you've learned if you don't teach what you've been taught and don't use what you've understood. You've got to use it. You need to communicate it to others, or you're in danger of losing it. Look again at verse 25. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I think in Hebrews we're seeing how that happens. We're taught and taught, but we don't teach. We learn and learn, but we don't live out what we're learning, and so we lose it. And we need to have the same lesson again. We can't move on because we need the same one taught again. In other words, God has called us, all of us, God is saying to all of us this morning, be a learner, be a careful learner. Because ultimately, my goal is for you to take that and to teach it. And that leads us to point number two this morning very quickly. Be a teacher. Be a learner. Be a careful learner. And verses 26 through 34, in essence, tell us about what kind of teacher we should be. Teach what you've been taught. Shine the light that you've been given. Sow the seed of God's word that you've heard. That's what he's saying in this passage. And what he says essentially in the two parables that we're going to finish with this morning, verses 26 through 34, is this. You should be a hopeful teacher. A hopeful teacher. In other words, be a careful learner because you want to learn correctly and as well as you can. Because you should be then taking that and teaching it to someone else. And when you do begin to tell someone else about Jesus, share the gospel with someone who doesn't yet believe, help a new believer be established in their faith, grow in their faith, you can do so with hope. You can be a hopeful teacher. Let me show you what I mean by that. Look at the parable that Jesus goes immediately to in verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, that is, day after day. And the seed sprouts and grows. He, that is the farmer, the one who scatters the seed, he knows not how. It's a mystery what's happening in the ground after he plants his seed. He doesn't really understand it. By the way, today we still don't. We can explain or describe how it happens, but we still can't explain or describe or really communicate or know how it happens or why it happens. Verse 28, the earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he, that is the one who scatters the seed, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Listen, when you begin to take what you've been taught and teach it, when you take the gospel that you've received and you begin to share it with others, you can have confidence. You can have confidence because, and I think this is what this parable is saying right here, God will make disciples. God will make disciples. In other words, God will use what you do. Maybe not every time. We saw that last week, right, in the four soils. But God will use the seed you sow. God will use the things you share, the gospel as you share it. God will work through that, and he will make disciples. I think this parable here is about individual transformation. The picture is of a seed of grain that goes into the ground and then by itself, on its own. In other words, the farmer doesn't make it happen. He doesn't even understand how it happens. Something happens inside the ground. That seed dies and then it begins to send out its shoot. And then eventually there's the head of grain. And then eventually there's all of the grain in the head. In other words, the earth does this. This is the way God made the earth. Made seeds. In other words, God does this. That's the point here. And so when you and I begin to talk to people about what we believe and we begin to share the gospel with other people and help new Christians grow in their faith, we can be confident because it's God who does the work. We don't. We can't. We can't change a person's heart. We can't cause a person to believe. God has to do that, and God will do that as we continue to scatter seed, as we continue to share the gospel and share the truth that we have received. We're talking here, I think, in this parable, essentially about kingdom transformation. How are people transformed? How do people come into God's kingdom? God does it. He uses us. We scatter the seed. We share the gospel. And then when God has done His work and created faith and the fruit that demonstrates faith, then we get to be a part of it again. At the very front end, we sow. At the very back end, we harvest. But God does everything in between. Listen, that should give you confidence today to share God's word, because it's not up to you. It doesn't depend on you. We sow, and everything after that and beyond that is God's mysterious and miraculous work. And we trust Him. You see? We trust Him. This is God's work. It's not ours. We plant, but God produces. We can't produce. But we should plant, because God uses what we do when we plant to do what only He can do, and that is to produce faith and to produce fruit that brings glory to Him. I may have shared this before, but I like the definition of witnessing that I heard years ago. Successful witnessing is taking the initiative to share the gospel and leaving the results to God. That's what this farmer in this parable is doing, right? He sows it, and then he goes to sleep. And day and night, he gets up, he goes to bed. He does nothing about the seed that's in the ground. He can't. He doesn't know. He can't make that happen. It happens. Similarly, we share the gospel and we leave the results to God. He is the one who brings the growth. He's the one who makes disciples. He's the one who brings kingdom transformation in the lives of people. And then notice the next parable. Another parable that should make you, again, hopeful as you teach, as you share the gospel, as you disciple others. Verse 30, and he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. That is, the ones that are sown for the purpose of a harvest. Verse 32, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Look at the last couple of verses before we talk about the parable, verses 33 and 34. With many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. So in this parable, we have the smallest seed that was sown by a farmer in that day. It was a mustard seed. It's about the size of a grain of sand. Think about that. One grain of sand, that's about the size of a mustard seed. Jesus says when it's planted, it actually outgrows, even though it's smaller than the other seeds that are planted normally. When it finally grows up, it grows up bigger than all of the other plants that come from the other seeds that are bigger. It becomes so big that you could actually call it a tree almost. It has such large branches that birds can actually come and find shelter and shade in those branches. What's Jesus talking about here? What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that here he is teaching these parables, and in private giving them the meaning of those parables. He's doing that to a really small group, relatively speaking. 12 apostles and then others who evidently were with them who continued to stay with them as much as they possibly could because they wanted to learn more. And so they were hearing Jesus explain these parables. Jesus is saying this may begin really, really, really small, but ultimately it's going to get really, really, really big. He's talking about his kingdom. His kingdom is going to expand. It's going to grow exponentially, ultimately, through this little group of disciples that he was teaching on this occasion. In other words, you and I should be hopeful teachers, not only because God will make disciples, that's what the first parable teaches, I think, but because also God will multiply disciples. That's what the second parable is teaching. This is a picture of kingdom growth or kingdom expansion, how God's kingdom is going to grow. It started really small with just a few disciples, but Jesus was saying through this parable, it's going to expand. It's going to expand exponentially. And I think personally, the birds in this story represent Gentiles, that is, non-Jews, peoples of the world who come into God's kingdom and find shelter, shade, salvation through believing in Jesus. I think here he's talking about international expansion. The gospel going to people way beyond where Jesus was at this point in time when he was teaching, and beyond just the Jewish people, going to all of the ethnic groups, all of the nationalities of the world, and people from every people group coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And you can be a part of that when you spread the seed. You see? You can be a part of that when you share the gospel, when you teach the truth to someone who's a newer believer, when you help someone else learn how to share their faith. You can be a part of that. All of us want to inherently be a part of something bigger than we are, and something that will last longer than we do. The greatest thing that you can give your life to, the greatest thing that you can give your life to is the kingdom of God. Because it is an eternal kingdom, and because it is a global kingdom. And that's what I think we're seeing right here in this second parable. It's going to be a global kingdom. It's going to go from tiny to tree-like, spreading its branches around the world, and many people coming to faith in Christ. Now, God does the work, but we can be a part of it. You can be a part of the multiplication of disciples. You can be a part of the expansion of God's kingdom by first being a careful learner and then being a hopeful teacher. Hopeful because God does it. God will make disciples. God will multiply disciples, but we get to be a part of it as we share the good news about Jesus Christ. We're all called to proclaim who Jesus was and why he came. Once we've learned it, we're to proclaim that to others. And as we do that, God will work. Not in every situation, not in every heart, not in every hearer, but he will work. And we will be a part of something that is global. And we can be a part of something that is eternal as we share the news of the kingdom. You see, the passage really is teaching us today this one simple thing. You are to shine what you are shown. And what you are shown is to be sown. Two metaphors here, light and seed, right? And both of them are communicating the same thing. Light is supposed to be shown. And when we have light, we're supposed to show it. We're supposed to share it with others. And what we have been shown, it's like a seed that is to be sown, and we're called by God to sow it. Let's bow and let's pray.